The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
Thank you, folks. Made me clean. Well, we began this series of Daring Faith a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about the fact that faith is like a muscle. You have to exercise it in order for it to be stronger, for it to stretch, so that it's not like an old rotten rubber band. When it gets stretched, it breaks. And so God allows circumstances and predicaments and crises to come into our life that stretch our faith. And we've been looking at how He does that. We recognize that we have faith, and the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. And faith means that I move forward and do what God says, even when I don't understand it, even when it doesn't make sense, even when I can't explain it. I step out and I trust God. So today we're going to talk about another of these experiences in how to walk in faith. And this is faith for the in-between times. The in-between times. Now, in order to understand my definition of in-between, let me give you some biblical illustrations of people who lived life in between. First of all, let's start with Abraham. Abraham received a promise from God. He was living in Ur of the Chaldees, modern-day Iraq. God comes to him and says, Abraham, I have selected you to be the father of a great nation. You're going to have as many children. It's going to be like the stars in the sky, the sands of the seas. I'm going to make you a great nation. Well, there's only one problem with that. Abraham and his wife are infertile. They can't have children, or they haven't had any children. And you can't be the father of a great nation if you don't start with one child. So he is living in the land of in between. God has made him a marvelous promise, but he hasn't seen it fulfilled. There's another character in Scripture. His name is Joseph. God comes to Joseph in a dream and said, you are going to be a great ruler. In fact, you're going to be such a great ruler that your brothers are all going to bow down to you. You may be the youngest, but they're going to bow down to you. But there's a problem. Those brothers get jealous of Joseph, sell him into slavery. He's bought and then falsely accused of a crime, and he's in jail. Now, he's had the promise of God, but you can't be a great ruler while you're in jail. So he's living in the between time. There's another one of these, Noah. God comes to Noah and says, Noah, I want you to build a big boat. Well, God, we're living in the desert. Why are we going to build a boat? Because it's going to rain. Okay, what's rain? Because Noah had never seen rain before. The Bible says the earth was watered with a mist and the morning dew. And rain was a brand new thing. But here is Noah. What is he doing? He's living day to day in the mundane tasks of life, with everybody making fun of him, saying, Noah, why are you building that boat out here in the middle of the Sahara? Because it's going to rain. What's rain? I don't know. He's living in between. He has the promise of God, but he doesn't have the fulfillment. Daniel. Daniel is going to be a great ruler in the Babylonian Empire with Nebuchadnezzar. But where's Daniel? In the lion's den. Hard to be a great ruler when you have hungry lions looking at you, unless you have God on your side. He's living in between. There's one other person, and I'll go all the way to the New Testament. You've heard his name. It's Jesus. Born in Bethlehem, he lived the first 30 years of his life in between. Why? Because God sent his son into the world to make the Father known, to die on the cross, be raised from the dead. Jesus had 30 years of mundane living and only 3 years of fulfilling his mission in this world. And I've got a suspicion that some of you today are living in between. And your in between may be in between jobs. It may be in between relationships. It may be in between finances. It may be in between knowing the will of God, understanding the will of God. It may be in between a problem, a predicament, something you don't know what is going on. But you're living in between. And if you're not living in between right now, God bless you. Enjoy the time, because you're not going to have as much time as Jesus did before the next in between comes. They just come. Now, why is that true? Why does that happen? That the in between, most of my life is lived in between. Why? Because God wants to stretch our faith. You see, we learn lessons in between that we can't learn anywhere else. In fact, I would argue with you that in between is the only place you can find what you're really looking for. If you had peace, oh dear Lord, may it be. If you had peace every day, every moment of every hour, you would not know the peace of God. Because until you know chaos and you know anxiety and you know worry, you don't really understand what peace is. And you wouldn't know what patience is if you didn't know what impatience was. Why, if you never had anything make you impatient, you'd look at somebody weird that got impatient because nothing ever happened to you. You don't even know what it is to be patient. It's just the way life is. God says, no. We're going to learn some of these lessons. And the only way you learn these lessons, the only way you get peace is to live in anxiety. And the only way you learn patience is to live with some impatience. And so God says real joy is learned in the middle of the between times. And that's where God shows up. That's where God gives us His presence. I want to talk about a man this morning who lived in between. This is a man who managed to live in between and not go crazy. Because honestly, the in-between times can make you stir crazy at times. You live in the middle of the tension. You live in the middle of the problem. How do you do that? Well, let's talk about Moses this morning. Because Moses was born a Hebrew slave at a very difficult time. Because the Pharaoh of Egypt was trying to kill all the baby Hebrew boys. His mother put him in a little basket, put him on a river, and he was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. He became a prince of Egypt. Maybe you've seen that movie about him. He was the prince of Egypt, had access to the power of the Egyptian throne, access to the riches of the Egyptian throne, access to the education of the best of Egypt. And he knew that God had given him a call. Just like God called Abraham, God called Joseph, God called Daniel, God called Noah, God called Moses. I want you to be the rescuer of my people. Well, Moses is out one day and he sees an Egyptian mistreating a Hebrew. And he has a plan. Well, this is what God put me on the planet for. I am to be the one to rescue the children of Israel from Egypt. So he goes out and knocks this guy in the head and kills him. That's going to be a big old task if you're going to free the children of Israel one dead Egyptian at a time. And he knows that. And by the way, everybody else knows what he did, even though he tried to cover it up. He tried to fulfill God's plan his way. And what happens? He ends up on the run. He has to leave Egypt. He goes out to the desert and he hides behind the mountains, raising a little flock of sheep out there for too long of a time. Moses didn't know he was living in between. Moses thought he was living in the it's all over time. He thought he was living in the there's no hope time. Because, see, he knew what God put him on the planet to do, and he tried to do it, but he failed. And he didn't know he was in the place of in between, right where God wanted him. He thought he was in the place of, it's all over, God can't use me. It's all over, I've done messed up. It's all over, I tried it, I can never be used by God again. But Moses is not in the place of it's all over, he is in the place of in between. What happened? Well, the Bible says, and if you look on your notes, it's on your notes. If you have your Bible, use your Bible. If you have your electronic and you have a Bible, it's on there. The notes for today are on YouVersion or on our app. And if you don't have a Bible and don't have an app, there's a Bible in the book rack. Take it home with you. That's our gift to you. We want you to have the Word of God and read the Word of God and be familiar with the Word of God. So here's what the Bible says. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. Moses said, here I am. I think Moses said that a little bit. Yeah, here I am. Now, Moses not knowing he's in the place in between. He thinks he's in the place of it's all over. Shows us how to live in between. Three things out of his life. Number one, Moses shows us that you've got to live in the moment, even if the moment is the moment of in between. We find ourselves in the waiting rooms of life. And generally, when we're in the waiting room of life, we begin to wait to live. When this is over, when this is behind me, you know, you may be in between. You've gone to the doctor's office and now you're waiting for the doctor's diagnosis. That's the in between. And what are we inclined to do? Worry and fret. And it's hard to live with our minds so distracted. All of those things make it difficult for us to keep on living. But I look at this and I see, the Bible says, when the Lord saw that he caught Moses' attention. He caught his attention. Why do you have to keep trying to get somebody's attention? Why do you have to try to get someone's attention? I played golf on Thursday with Tim McCreary and Bob Castles, who's Bob and Patty are back in town, say hi to them. We played golf, and they took me home, and I got my golf clubs out and got up into the garage and realized I had my golf clubs, but I didn't have my cell phone. So I dropped my golf clubs in the garage and ran back out of the driveway, stood in the street waving my arms, yelling, Bob, Bob, Bob. He just kept on going. I think he saw me. No, he didn't see me. Why did I do that? Because he was busy. He's driving down the road. He's not looking for me. I don't have to catch your attention if you're not busy. Moses was busy. What does that mean? That means he's doing what he was supposed to be doing. Same thing Jesus did for 30 years. It wasn't fair that Joseph probably died when Jesus was a young boy. And Jesus had to take over the carpenter shop. He had to be the role model for his brothers and sisters. He had to take care of his mother. Wasn't fair, but he did it for 30 years in seclusion, though he was the Son of God, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings. He lived in between. Moses lived in between. That's where God meets us. That's where God gets our attention. You see, in between, that's when I want a big miracle. I want God to show himself in some magnificent way. And then I'll get on with it. And God says, no, I want you to be faithful where you are, doing what you need to be doing while you're in between. Live your life. We find ourselves waiting to live. And God says, no, live in between. Learn to be faithful in between. Now, it's hard to be faithful and consistent in life in between when it's not enjoyable. How do you do that? What motivates us to do that? Look at verse 4. God called him from the bush, Moses, Moses. Here I am, Moses replied. Note what God did. He called him by name. He said, Moses, I have not forgotten who you are. I have not forgotten what you did, and I have not forgotten where you are. I know you're here in the desert, but Mo, that's right where I want you to be right now. I know your name, and I still have a personal plan for your life. And Moses, you can be faithful to me on the backside of this desert because I have not forgotten you. You're not in the place of it's all over. You're not in the place of there's no hope. You're in the place of in between, but I know your name. Moses, my plan hasn't changed. You're still going to be the deliverer, but Moses, this time we're going to do it my way. And we'll get to that in a minute. But God is saying, Moses, who still thinks he's in the place of it's all over, he throws these excuses back at God. What does he say? Well, God, I can't do that. I don't speak very well. You need somebody that's better than me. God, I've already tried this once. I failed. I've proven I can't do it. You need somebody more talented with more influence. God, I don't have anything. I can't even talk right now. So I'm not going to do it. And then he says, by the way, if I decided to do it, because God says, I'll send Aaron. You know, God telling Moses he would send Aaron is kind of like telling me he would send Billy Graham. Michael, I know you stutter and blunder, so I'll send Billy with you, and he'll make it clear. He said, I'll send Aaron. And so Moses says, well, if I decide to do it, I don't even know who to tell him is sending me. Now, don't miss this part. This is the jewel in this passage. I don't even know who to say is sending me. And God says, well, my favorite first and second name is I Am. When you go down to those Israelites and you tell them that I sent you to take them out of Egypt, and they say, well, who are you? Who sent you? You just tell them, I Am has sent me to you. Well, God, why do you want me to tell them that? Why do you want me to use that name? I Am. And I think God must have said to Moses, because I am the God of the present tense. And that means, Moses, I am the God of today. And you don't have to keep worrying about yesterday. I'm not the God of the past. Yes, I was God in the past, but you don't need me in the past. You need me today. And by the way, Moses, you don't need to worry about what's out in front of you, because I'm not the God of the future either. I'm the God of the right now. I'm the God of the present tense. I am what you need right now. This is one of the most interesting names of God. I am the God of this moment. Moses, quit regretting the past and quit being afraid of the future. I am the God right now. And by the way, folks, you don't just live in between. You live right now. And I don't need him to be the God of yesterday. And I don't need him to be the God of tomorrow yet. I need him to be the God of the right now. So, what do you need? What do you need from the God of right now? He comes to me, he said, Michael, I am the God of right now. So you can call me, I'll give you my first and middle name, you fill in the last name. I am God the provider. I am God the strength. I am God the sustainer. I am God the director. I am God the visionary. I am God the comforter. Jacob is not here today. Jacob is not here because his 90-year-old grandmother passed away the last week. And he's going to have the funeral on Tuesday. Jacob could pray this prayer and say, I am comfort. I need him to comfort my family. I want to do something. I just want you to pray with me right now. And I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'm going to get to a phrase in this prayer that says, God, I ask you to be my. And I'm going to leave that space blank. And I want you to think for a moment what you need God to be in your life right now. Do you need him to be your courage? Do you need him to be your finances? Do you need him to be your friend? Do you need him to be your inspiration, your hope, your peace? What do you need him to be in your life right now? Just bow your heads and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we know you tell us you are the great I Am. And we come before you right now because we need you. We need you as the God of the present tense. And I thank you for everybody who's here today, because some of us feel like maybe you've forgotten us, or that we're out in the middle of the desert with Moses, or we feel like you're a million miles away. But thank you that just like you showed Moses, you know his name, you'll show us. And you'll remind us that we're not in the place of it's all over. You're in the place of in between. And that you are right here. You are the great I Am. And so, Lord, you tell us to say that you are whatever we need. So right now, God, you who are the great I am, I ask you to be my. And Lord, I thank you that you're here right now and you meet the deepest needs. Thank you that you tell us we can embrace this moment, even though it's in between, but we can embrace it because at this very moment, you know our name. And we offer our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, I continue to live faithfully. Second, I let go of what I'm holding on to. I have to let go of what I'm holding on to. But verse 2, the Bible says, then the Lord said to him, what's that in your hand? A staff, he replied. And the Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses, what you got in your hand? Moses said, oh, is this old stick? God, I've been carrying this old stick a long time. I've whittled this stick down. And if you look at it, it's almost got the shape of my hand where I hold it and I walk with it. It's nothing, God. It's just an old stick I picked up. I use this stick. It's kind of important to me because I'll use this stick to get those old cranky sheep out and about. And I'll use the crook on it to kind of pull a little lamb into me. And I've even used the crook on this staff to whack a snake in the head a time or two. And to scare off a mountain lion or a wolf. But it's nothing, guys. It's a stick. So God says, well, Mo, throw it down. Now, I think if I'd have been Moses, some emotions would have been going through me right now. God, I knew your plan, and I tried to do it my way, and I lost everything. And I'm living on the backside of the sheep with some, or backside of the mountains with some stinky sheep, and I can't even go into town and date anybody on the weekends. I've given up all. And all I've got's this stick. And I like this stick. Fits my hand. I know how strong it is. Throw it down. Well, but God, you don't understand. This stick, it's special to me. Throw it down. But God, I'm going to need this stick. I got to go back out those. Throw it down. So finally, he throws that stick down. Now, that's symbolic, and it is symbolic of anything that we're holding tightly to, we need to throw it down before God. And I'll tell you why. You know what happened when he threw that stick down? It had a snake in it. It became a snake. And if you got a problem with that, then you have a problem with God, period. God made sticks, and he made snakes, and if he wants to mix them up, it's okay with me. And he can do that. So he did. And I think Moses looked at that and thought, oh, dear, you know, what do you do? Why did God say throw it down? Because anything in my life that I'm holding on too tightly, it's got a snake in it, and it will bite you. And so God says, I want you to throw it down. I want you to give it to me. I want you to surrender everything in your life to me. Everything, time, talents, treasure. I want you to give it all. Why? I'm your father, and I'm going to take care of you. And Moses threw that down. Then what does God, when the snake shows itself, what does God say to do then? Pick it up. A lot easier to throw that puppy down than it was to pick that thing up. You're throwing down a stick. You're picking up a snake. But God turns it back. Now it is no longer a staff. It's no longer a piece of wood. What is it? It is the rod of God. And it is that rod of God that Moses held up to the Red Sea and the waters parted straight down the middle. And it was the rod of God that Moses held high during battle and the enemy was beaten. It was the rod of God that he struck the rock and water came out. It was the rod of God that saw Moses to the top of the mountain. He didn't ever get to go into the promised land, but he looked at it holding the rod of God. You see, God empowers whatever we give to him. Whatever we give to him. It was the rod of God that turned the water of the Nile River into blood to show Pharaoh how powerful God was. God takes what we hold on tightly to. And when we give it up, he blesses it. Why? To teach us that we can trust him in anything. To teach us that we can trust him no matter what. You see, God takes the ego and he takes the selfishness out of it. And he gives it back to us to use. The place of in between, if we'll let go of it, he will teach us we can trust him. So what's in your hand? Moses had his shepherd's staff. What is God calling you to give up so that you can learn to trust him? You give him that ordinary thing and he will do extraordinary things with it. The third thing, you walk in God's plan. Moses learned how to live in between because he tried it his way. Now he's going to do it God's way. Verse 8, look what it says. I have come to rescue them and lead them out of Egypt into their own good and spacious land. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You will lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. God says, Mo, the only way it's going to be different this time is if you do it my way. You do it my way. You tried to do it by yourself in your own power. Now you come alongside with me and my power and my plan, and we will make it happen. See, in the place of in between, this is a process. The first thing I do is I continue to be faithful to God no matter what. And I let him examine my heart and show me what I need to throw down so that he can begin to bless. And when I begin to walk with him, he accomplishes his plan, his purpose. How? Through me. Folks, do you know that you are the hope of the world? The church is the hope of the world? Because we're the only thing Jesus left here with the mandate, with the command that we make him known to this world. How do I make him known to this world? Well, Moses didn't do a very good job representing God when he whacked that Egyptian in the head and killed him and tried to hide him. That didn't impress people with his God. But when Moses stayed faithful and he gave his rod to God and God gave it back to him and blessed it, and God began to do things through him and began to use him, when he walked in God's power, fulfilling God's plan, people took notice. To the point that Pharaoh, the most powerful political person in the world, allowed him to take the Israelites out. And when he changed his mind, God dealt with Pharaoh. Moses' job was simply to make God known. I can't make God known doing my thing my way. I try it. And I mess up again and again and again. That's why I love this passage, because he's not the God of the past. He says, Moses, forget the past. I'm not back there. I'm right here, right now. What we all need is a burning bush experience where we know that God knows our name, even though we're living in the routine, in the mundane, we're living in between. But God's got a plan. And he says, if you'll give who you are to me and walk my way, I'll fulfill that plan. That's your choice. Stand with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to live in the moment, let go of what we're holding on to, and walk your way. I pray in Jesus' name.